Welcome to another episode of Erp Chirp, a podcast by Albertans, about Albertans, but for all Erpers. I'm Erica Ensign.
I'm Annette Weirstra.
And I'm Kirsten Gork.
And we just watched Wynonna Earp Season 3, Episode 7, I Fall to Pieces. It's all about Monique.
Oh my god. It totally is. Oh, poor Monique.
Yeah.
A little gnome bra. That's what we all need.
A little gnome or a little gnome bra?
Yes.
He was not a little gnome. He was a very large gnome.
He was a giant gnome who had constantly had blood coming out of his mouth, and I'm not really sure why.
Yeah, he's kind of gross. I imagine gnomes to be much cuter.
I don't. I've played too much D&D for that. There was one campaign that went on endlessly that took place underground, and all of the gnomes were poop gnomes. Like, there was poop everywhere. And, like, I have just been scarred ever since. So anyway, all right, we're starting out by digressing this time.
That's a bad sign.
I think it's because we don't want to talk about what just happened.
Oh,
again.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm gonna own up to it. I was wrong. I'm pretty sure I was wrong. Doc doesn't have a long game. Or if he does, it's not the, like, complete overall clever long game that I was hoping for. I still don't understand why he made the choices that he did, but his reactions to Wynonna's reactions, just, I'm baffled.
Yeah, I feel like before we even watched this episode, I was telling you guys how usually I can swing with all sorts of things going on, narrative turns and twists and bad guys. I'm usually on the side of all the bad guys or bad girls. But in this case, I'm like, I've been really bothered by this because I just don't see a way out unless they go all supernatural. And there's always a way to reverse
things. You mean supernatural, the TV show,
yes,
right?
Yes, the TV show. So,
where they
take
it back.
They always have take-backsies when it involves Sam or Dean. But I'm like, I just don't feel like that's going to happen here. And I'm feeling very upset at him for making a decision like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to slap him. I was so glad she was slapping him because that's how I felt. It was, that whole scene just broke my heart. And like Erica said, he alluded to some kind of like, this was the only way, but
yeah, what did that
mean? What does that mean?
The only way for what? Does he think that he needs to be a monster? Because that kind of came up a few times. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes you need a monster
to fight a monster.
Mm-hmm. So does he feel that he has to be a vampire to defeat Bolshar? Especially since now, like, you know, they lost Dolls and Dolls was a dragon.
That's true.
Yeah. So like maybe he has some twisted weird thought.
He had a shiny eye envy.
Yes.
Yeah, and also needs some dental work, and now he's got like shiny molars
and like the sexiest sunglasses. Seriously, Doc, with those sunglasses.
Yeah, because his poor pupils can't handle the sun anymore.
I know, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah, he just, I feel like he hasn't thought it through because here he's totally like, you know, blood shaming Kate for the driver's licenses of all the people that she's killed. How does he think he's going to survive? Yeah. Does he think he can just starve himself and he'll still be in shape to defeat Bolshar? Or is there something we don't know? He can go and feast on like cows or something.
Jeez. He's going to go all Twilight and only eat like deer and rabbits.
I mean, maybe that works in this realm.
Yeah. Well, and I feel that's part of the challenge is we don't know really enough of the lore around because it's not one of their key themes. So we don't know enough about how the lore works in this world.
Yep.
So I don't know. I just feel so confused.
Mm-hmm. He literally disappeared. We saw his reflection disappear in the mirror.
I didn't hate when he was shirtless. I should say that.
Ooh, okay.
For the first time, for how the first long time have we ever, he asked for that?
Actually, properly shirtless. Thank you very much, Tim Rosen. We enjoyed that.
We had to wait two and a half seasons.
What a price, you guys.
I know.
And you can see like the little bite marks on his neck. And I was like, I'm just going to ignore that part. Oh. It's not happening.
Yeah, that was a steep price to pay to get to see Doc shirtless.
Yeah.
Was it worth it?
I'm maybe torn. Maybe it was.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to watch it again to fully decide.
Several times. Uh-huh. I still don't know. I think that's the problem, though. I don't know how to feel because if it ends up being, you know, part of the story, but it just feels so, I feel sad.
Yeah.
I don't
want I'm worried it was vampire. One of those rash decisions that he is going to pay for, that we're all going to have to watch him pay for.
Well, I think that's what we're meant to think now.
And I have to say that, like, at this point, I bow to you, Annette, because you were the one that was just like, I think Doc is just making bad decisions because Wynonna, you know, spurned
him.
Yep.
And that's exactly what he brings up and throws in her face. And mm-hmm. yeah, so that hurt him really bad. So he went to Kate, like, really? Yeah. And then she tries to turn it around, like, oh, and you know, I did this because you asked me to. Come on, honey. Like, yeah, you were
I'm liking Kate less and less.
I know. Mm-hmm. Like, she was very much goading him into it. And yes, it is true that he actually did say the words, you know, do it, go ahead, whatever. Yeah. Whatever his exact words were, sure. But it's not like he came there and, you know, begged for it and had to convince her in any way, shape, or
they've ever even talked about it prior to now. Like, you show up and you're like, hey, I'm ready. You might want to have a discussion.
Yeah, it kind of creates interesting questions around consent, like how consenting is consent. Yeah. And he was in emotional distress. But at the same time, I still think it's on him more than it is on her. I still don't necessarily know what her motivations are. Is it strictly for love that she wants him to be a vampire? Or does she have other motivations? So far, I feel that's unclear. But I do think he ultimately did let it happen.
Oh yeah.
And it's on him, and I don't think he did it in a right frame of emotional mind. And that's probably why I feel so upset about it. I'm like, you just were dumb.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, we had originally hoped for polyamory between the three of them. And you said last time that's certainly not going to happen because
no, there's too much tension between
but then we the also two of them. Now get her being jealous. Yeah. And like pissed off jealous, and then Doc says something about how your jealousy always bored me or something. Yeah. So I guess that's just a part of her character.
She's so petty. Well, like she thinks she's won, right? She's like, go back and see if Wynonna will take you back now.
Yeah, well, and she's right, that's true. And I think for her, perhaps getting Doc to be a vampire was sort of sealing their relationship.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because I was the whole week thinking, I don't know, maybe Wynonna and Doc aren't good for each other because they do really kind of bring out
the worst
in each other. And they're both so emotionally messed up that they might need someone more emotionally sound to ground them and to help them work through that, even though I think they do love each other.
Oh yeah.
But then you see it go say, you know, maybe he can be with Kate, maybe, but they're not good for each other too, because you can see patterns, I feel, of fights they've had in the past. I just kind of sense they've had those fights.
Yeah, there's a definite there's a toxic history there for sure.
So I feel like there's a reason why they drifted apart, aside from, you know, hundreds of years of being in a well.
You know. Yeah, the scene on the porch at the end there, I was actually thinking in my head, you know, as Wynonna is basically just dressing Doc down, I'm like, wow, somebody actually screwed up worse than Wynonna.
Right? So
it's like, it must be nice for her. I mean, in a way, obviously it's not nice to just be able to really just lay it out on somebody else who has just effed up
royally.
Bad.
Oh, yeah. She threw Alice in his face.
Yeah.
Ouch. Ooh. But Wynonna has a point. That's one of those times where, you know, quite often she is speaking truth to power. Like, she just she lays it out there, and yeah, this is one of those times where I was just like, every extra thing that she said, I was gonna say extra nail in the coffin, but that's a bad vampire joke. Was just it up to and including Alice. Like, maybe it seemed to him like it was a bit of a low blow, but I don't think so, because dude, you're, as it stands now, unless somebody stakes you, you're going to be around just like this, looking just like this when your daughter is 85 years old and, you know, dying of a lung disease or something.
Yeah.
I think also, though, he's not wrong when he says to her, like, she wants him to be there and be available when she wants him.
True.
But then she's pushing him away constantly and going and having sex with hot firefighter guy.
Charlie? Is that his
name?
I don't know.
I think his name is Charlie.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, so you can't have both those things. You can't push him away and expect him to wait, because
completely.
That's not fair. So it's like, you guys are not very good at this.
Nope. I would have been fine if he'd stayed with Kate for a while Wynonna sorted her shit out.
They could have had sex.
Yeah, they did not have to go vampire. All the way.
Just go have sex and have fun.
Right?
Yep.
Erica, when you mentioned Wynonna being like a straight talker, it makes me think of Bun Bun, who called Wynonna a straight shooter, I think.
Yep,
the perfect candidate for sheriff.
Oh my God, was she reprehensible. She was so good.
Oh, Jan Arden, you crushed that.
Yes. What was the one of the closing lines about, are you homophobic or xenophobic? And she's like, why choose?
Or when she said, I don't want to go to that hospital because there's too many immigrant doctors.
That's horrible. That is old white rural Canadian. Oh, like, that's legit.
To a T. I have heard people say things like that.
Me too. And I haven't even been here that long.
Yeah. Just when you think she couldn't get more reprehensible, she opened her mouth again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Wow.
But I do love Jan Arden, and she did kill it. She plays evil. Yeah,
it was a really fun character to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it really was kind of just a wacky madcap episode. And at first, until I put together the broken mirror bad luck thing, I was just kind of going, oh, this. Because that kind of episode of a show is not my jam. Like, when things are just so off the chain and wacky and madcap, it tends to kind of annoy me. But in this case, like, at the moment I realized, oh, they screwed up, they broke some stuff, so that's probably this is their curse, this is their punishment. I was like, okay, I can kind of lean into this a little bit because it's got a supernatural reason. It's not just silly for silly sake.
Yeah,
well, totally. And they even, Wynonna said, oh, 7 years bad luck when they broke the mirror, and it still took me a couple weeks to happen before I was like, oh no, they're actually having 7 years of bad luck.
Yeah, I think we're a little slow on that uptake.
Yeah, yeah. I got it before you did, Annette, because you actually said it out loud. I figured it out when Jan Arden was in the back of the car just as it was being driven away by the two hooligans.
She did
or whatever.
That great.
So I was hating it. Not hating. I was just kind of going, blah, so this isn't my kind of thing. And then suddenly I was like, oh, wait a minute. I get it. Okay. Speaking of, like, the face that you just did with her screaming, you put your hands up,
I did.
Annette, I do have to call out Wynonna's last words. I miss Macaulay Culkin.
That was so funny. That was very Waverly. I miss Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, and she's like, thanks for making me look like an asshole.
Yep. Which is, like, that is super random and hilarious.
Also, the fact that they were able to put those magical items together with scotch tape.
Yeah. Yep. And it counted.
I was like, I feel like that's not going to work, but go ahead, guys.
But it did, because magic lightning then struck it and all the tape was gone and all the cracks were gone. Because that's how magic works.
Handy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I called it that guy was a gnome immediately. Because as soon as he walked out, I was just like, gnome, because of the hat. Because there's a town in Wisconsin called, I think it's Mount Horeb that has all the gnomes. Yeah. Mount Horeb, Wisconsin is known for its, like, lawn gnomes and, like, tree carved gnomes. Like, you just drive up and down the street and they are everywhere.
That is for a road trip, kind of cool.
I would be all over that.
It's really quite disturbing, but
but in the best kind of way.
Do they all have blood, like, dripping out of their mouths?
They do not.
Are, I mean, they're for wives.
There may be
Monique.
I'm not sure. But we can take a road trip to Wisconsin and find out someday. Mm-hmm. I feel like there was something else that was Canadian in here that before it started, we were kind of talking about how, you know, you lean into the Canadianisms in the previous episode with the paper crowns and stuff. And then in this episode, you lean right back out of it because we don't elect sheriffs.
Mm-mm.
No.
I mean, maybe in some parts of Canada they do. I feel like it's a province by province thing.
They don't.
I don't. No, I feel like it's like, it's a job you get hired to do because you're good at it.
Yeah.
Not that Nicole isn't good.
She might have to actually go through an interview process where someone like Bunny could
interview her.
Interview her and be a barrier into her getting the job, but you wouldn't be elected. But there was no election yet. So clearly that
must be. Just some buttons and some donut bribery going on.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a good way to do it.
It's the Canadian way to bribe a non-election that don't really happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, as I think I may have said on the show before, sheriffs are members of the Alberta Public Service, the APS. So
yeah,
they do things like prisoner transport and guarding the courthouse and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and Nedley and Hot would be RCMP.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is a good uniform.
Yep.
Yeah.
They don't always wear the red jackets.
But that doesn't necessarily mean a lot to Americans, so I guess I can understand taking some dramatic license, and you definitely get drama out of an election scenario. Can you imagine Wynonna as sheriff?
Oh my gosh.
Like, that was just kind of a hilarious little jab from a really terrible character.
I think there was something else though that we were laughing about that was so Canadian. Mm-hmm. I'm blanking out.
Maybe it'll come to us. I was really excited because I knew going
into this episode,
our Cracker Jack producer is making motions at us.
Yeah, figure skating. Oh, he was talking about Scott and Tessa. Yes.
Oh, I loved that.
Scott. Yep. You be Scott. You be Tessa. And then delightful. A giant high kick. Yeah, that's...
That was brilliant.
I feel like that's something that people in the United States would also know because they were media darlings. They weren't just Canada's figure skaters. They were the world's.
And recently, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. That was a much more recent reference than some of the ones like, you know, Macaulay Culkin, for example.
Well, we're missing him, though, apparently. So that's true. Yes. You know, it kind of works.
And talking about Uber.
Uber.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Uber. Let's talk about the Uber experience there the doc had with Michelle. What do you think of Michelle hightailing it?
I was waiting for it, to be perfectly honest.
Really?
I didn't think she was going to stick around.
Interesting.
But that's because I didn't... like. There's just so much history there, and she was trying to fit in, but if she was having a hard time, and I get it, and I feel like she has just all of these loose ends in her own life that she is trying to fix, and... Mm-hmm. She made a sacrifice as a mother, but I don't know if she knows how to really be a mother.
Yeah.
And so I feel like maybe she felt a little stifled. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot of expectation and a lot of weight on her coming back into their lives. And she's been locked up for so many years. And
she's leaving 20-something-year-old girls.
Right.
So it's like, it's that does suck that she left. And the way she left doesn't feel really healthy. Like, she basically snuck out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think for her to go... I love you. I've spent some time with you guys. I'm going to go off and figure out my life and my shit and maybe find the person I love right now. It doesn't feel super awful to me. It feels, I feel like she's not gone forever.
Oh yeah.
Oh no. I
and
think
someone had
back.
To go look for Julian because we need him to come back and help
an
us
angel?
Figure some. Yeah. Yep. Maybe he can save Doc from being a vampire forever.
So clearly the stone angel in the greenhouse is not actually him. So my theory
is just representative.
It's representative. Yep. Yeah. And so, and also my worry after the last episode that I didn't feel like I had a real good handle on why she wanted to find Julian. Like, that's wiped out. Like, obviously she does love him. She misses him. And she found out from Bobo that, he was pushed. Yeah. Ward pushed him out of the Ghost River Triangle, which is interesting because we know that revenants can't leave. We know that whatever the hell Juan Carlos was, he could step out of it and back into it just fine.
It's true.
But apparently for angels, they don't die if they get pushed out of it, but they
is he
get
not
lost.
Able, yeah, it was like he's not in? Able to just come back in.
Well, I mean, so maybe he was like, as soon as he was pushed over the border, there was some sort of dimensional transcendence going on and he just got lost in the ether somehow. Or maybe he...
Or he went back up to heaven.
Or he forgot who he was and
I was just thinking that.
He's living life as a bank teller like 50 miles up the road and just doesn't know he's actually an angel.
In the big city.
Yeah. So who knows?
That would make a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. I agree. I don't think we're done with Mama Herb. I think she'll be back. I was not expecting her to go, but now that she's gone, I'm not at all surprised for all of the reasons that you said,
honestly,
Kirsten.
Honestly, I'm not sure that I'm still not going to happen. I thought they would kill her off by the end of the season.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
I feel like she's going to end up dying and maybe sacrificing herself at the end of the season. And it just feels like they don't keep you around for a really long time. So I feel like nobody's safe and everyone could just die. I'm prepared for Mama to die.
I am worried about that for Nedley. I was thinking about that.
I know. Yeah. His line when he was like, I'll always be there for you if you need me. And I was like, they're going to kill him
too.
And I was like, how many minutes are left? Could they kill him now? Are they going to do it?
Maybe he'll just like be out, but also be able to pop back in every once
in
a while.
So. That's the hope.
It really is. Because I still feel like it just came as a bit of a shock to me that he's wanting to retire and that he's suddenly just the whole tenor of his performance is just so much more sad. He is sad Nedley, and he didn't seem like a sad Nedley before. And I don't know if we're supposed to, like, if it's just that he was pressing all that sadness down and we never saw it before. And now we get to see it because he's finally at the point where he trusts the people around him enough to show how he really feels. Or did something else happen that we just haven't found out about?
Yeah.
But I mean, to me, it just doesn't feel like there's a little bit of a break in the narrative consistency in the flow of Nedley's character.
Yeah. Well, and he mentioned Dahl's dying.
Yeah.
And how he didn't trust him enough and he knows better now. And I feel like the change we've seen in him kind of has started since Dolls' death. I don't know if maybe it's affected him in a way he didn't expect. But yeah, he's definitely just, he's lost his fight. He has no more fight left. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But that scene between him and Nicole.
Oh my gosh.
She's like, don't cry.
Right?
It's okay. You can just get a little verklempt right now. It's like, hug it out, don't guys. Please look directly just hug it at out them. Right now. Mm-hmm. Just hug.
It was, yeah, that was really beautiful. That was beautiful. And interesting to discover that, yeah, Nicole does have some ties to the Ghost River Triangle that we kind of had suspected that there had to be something there. Mm-hmm. And now we know what it was. And like, it's so beautiful. He's the one that saved her and sort of, you know, set
kept
her on
an
the path
eye on
and,
her.
Yes, like all the way along. And oh, that's just, it's so sweet. And the fact that at the outset of this episode, he has gone to the trouble of setting up this task for Wynonna and Nicole to go through together, which Wynonna pegs kind of immediately and just gives up on it.
Yeah. But you also, it's also like, don't throw all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. I was, yeah.
That's like a rookie mistake, I feel.
There were multiple times where I was really annoyed with Wynonna in this episode. Oh. She was kind of horrible.
She was terrible.
She's so mean to
Nicole.
Like,
I was really looking forward to those two together because the last time that kind of happened was the famous drunk episode with
they were adorable
Anus the Revenant
at Pussy Willows.
It was so epic and so much fun, and I was really, there were moments of that in this episode, but there were moments when I was like, Wynonna, you shut your mouth, like how dare you make fun of what Nicole went through, or you've been through a mess. I was like, you be quiet,
you are
you do
such
not
a
get
jerk
to say that
because
you're not even that drunk because you were cheating.
She did
the drinking contest.
To her credit, she did realize that she had gone too far. I feel like that is kind of a Wynonna thing, is to go that one step that's just way too far and then to back away from it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh God, learn better.
Yeah.
Be better. But it was fun to see drunk Nicole again.
Oh, I loved drunk Nicole. Adorable. She's my spirit animal.
Okay. Can we talk rules for a second here? I will agree that yes, Wynonna was cheating, but Nicole was not cheating. She was drinking every single drink. And she still had not thrown up or quit.
Yeah, so she beat, Nicole beat the Revenant.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And they still tried to kill her. How rude.
So I just feel like I have no respect left for Revenants.
Because he respected them so much until this moment.
You guys are done now for reals.
I thought maybe there was like honor among thieves or something like that. And they would respect the rules of their game.
Not
but
the
nope.
biker ones. Nope.
I guess not. Yeah, that was rude. Oh, that was another Alberta thing. You said one of them dressed like your uncle.
Yes, yes, they did.
Yep, so that's an Alberta biker bar right there, I guess.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle is not a biker, to be clear. He's just an Albertan.
Probably wearing plaid.
No, not a lot of plaid. A lot of camo. He's a hunter.
Yeah. There wasn't a lot of plaid here. It was just a lot of biker gear. I mean, honestly, like, any of those guys could have been pulled out of a biker bar in Wisconsin, to which I've been to many, so I can tell you for
you
sure.
Hang out in a biker bar?
I used to.
Whoa.
We're learning sometimes.
So many things about Erica. Did you ride a bike to the biker bar?
God, no. No, I just lived in the country and there's a lot of bikers around. Mm-hmm. And then I lived in Madison. And there were a lot of bikers. So, like, I didn't hang out there all the time, but I've been to lots of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I don't think I've ever been to a biker bar.
Yeah,
I mean, a bar is a bar. You're not missing that much. They're noisy.
Just never
they
occurred
smell
to me
like
I
spilled beer, just like all the rest of them. We didn't get a lot of Waverly and Jeremy in this episode.
No,
they were just sort of like the comedy duo putting things
taping
together with scotch tape
together.
I was like, but they're still sort of being sort of funny and cute together.
Yeah, they were the adorable puzzle makers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. I do like those two together because it's like cute versus cute. And it's just like
the cuteness.
Cute overload.
Greater than the sum of its cute. So big fan. Yep.
Yeah. It's interesting. There was a bunch of not usual combinations in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of fun. Not the typical one. So that is fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there was Pretty Snow. That was another Albertan thing. There was a
shiny before the lightning hit and the gnome appeared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, establishing shot there of that, the garden shed or whatever. And it was just like the sparkles. And I was like, oh, that's my favorite kind of snow, is that particular kind of sparkling snow.
Yes.
It's on its gorgeous way.
Yeah, actually, it won't be long. I wore my coat to work.
I could see my breath this morning when I walked outside. It's still August, people.
It's early to be this cool.
I'm okay with it. I'll get used to it. I just don't want it to rain. I want to skip right from like nice weather into snow, so I don't have to walk to work in rain.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
True.
All right, we're digressing again. I've started talking about my walk to work, so clearly it's time to be done, time to move on, time to try to, maybe we need to have a drink, some tequila or some shots of ouzo or something.
Drinking contest, who's gonna win?
Yeah, I'm gonna have a beer chaser, just saying. Yeah, we gotta do something to make ourselves feel better about Vampire Doc, because I'm still not okay with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel like maybe by the end of the season, we'll see the arc and I'll be okay.
I hope.
I hope.
I really hope.
But right now I still am just disappointed in him.
Hard pass. Yep.
I'm disappointed in you, Doc.
Yeah.
Even if you look hot in those glasses and in that bare chest.
Yep. And even if Tim Rozon's delivering an amazing performance of being sad and
it
angry.
It was incredible.
And, yeah. Oh, so good.
It was like so good that we just had to hate it.
Yeah, those two together at that closing scene were phenomenal.
Holy crap.
Yep.
It was powerful.
Yep.
But electric. We still didn't like it.
Nope. Yeah, and I knew a moment before she did it, like she uninvited him from the house.
Oh, yeah.
I knew she was going
to. Step, you're like,
just before she said there are some advantages, I was like, oh my God, she's about to realize the advantage of him being in. And then she said exactly that. And I was like, oh no.
Waverly will invite him back in.
That's right. She didn't live there by herself.
Exactly.
Ha! Loophole.
Yep. I've seen enough vampire movies to know that one hapless person can invite the vampire in.
Haven't you seen Buffy? It's always the little sister who invites the vampires in.
Or the mom.
That's what it was in The Lost Boys.
I feel like Dawn at some point invited a bunch of stupid vampires in too, because she was being rebellious.
Mm-hmm. Or dumb.
Or both.
Yeah. Not dumb.
All of the
naive,
above.
Let's say.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, we've moved on to Buffy, so it's definitely time to go. So, until next time,
lights out, bitch.